Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it is about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. It is program 305 in the series. It's July 29th, and we are going to play some classic radio shows for you, right, Lisa Wolf?
Yes, amongst other excitement for
yes,
tonight.
Yes, we do. We're going to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, because in just a moment, we're going to welcome to the microphone, as we do every month, Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Oil Dry, which is the parent company of Cat's Pride. He's here to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. We have Mike Estella in the studio. What's up, Mike? How
hey,
are you?
Hey, how's it going? I'm good.
I'm good, too. And Lisa's good. And Dan, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Hang on a second. There we go.
I'm doing well, Carl. Lisa, thanks for having me.
We're going to start things off with our game, Cat's Pride Crack the Quote. We do this every hour. We're going to give away what, Lisa?
We are going to give away two tickets to see Avenue Q, which is playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago.
What's the movie?
The movie from 1958 is Touch of Evil.
Touch of Evil. Orson Welles is in that. Yeah. Touch of Evil. I've not seen it.
All right.
But Orson Welles is in it. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Play the game live on the air. It's Cat's Pride. Crack the Quote. We'll be right back.
What caller are you looking for?
Oh, number five.
Five is good.
Thank you.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Helen on the line. Hi, Helen.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great. Congratulations on being caller number five. You're ready to play our little game?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Terrific. We'd love to give you some theater tickets. We're going to have Dan play along with us as well. Quote number one, you just shot an unarmed man. Mm-hmm. Quote number two, if thoughts are guns, are words the bullets? Number three, I had a gun in this case. You didn't take it?
What do you think, Helen?
It's definitely a question. I'm going to give you that.
I don't have the slightest idea.
It's okay. You know what? You're going to be a winner anyway, so just whatever feels right. You could just
one, two,
one.
Or three.
One.
One is good. You just shot an unarmed man.
What do you think, Dan?
You just took my words away.
I'm going to go with two.
Two. Yeah. If thoughts are guns, are words the bullets?
I think two. It just sounds like you wouldn't have made that up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I had a gun in this case. You didn't take it.
All right, so it was number one. But that's okay, Helen. You're a winner. You have won two tickets to Avenue Q. It's the puppet-filled comedy musical. It's playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago. They do great shows there. This is a wonderful show at a wonderful theater. You can check it out and get more information at mercurytheaterchicago.com. Thank you for playing with us tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, so she's a big winner, and all of our listeners are big winners because our main sponsor, Cat's Pride, has been with us from day one. They not only have the greatest kitty litter in the world, and they do wonderful things for cats all over the world, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But Dan Jaffe, the CEO, comes here every month and gives away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to one of our lucky winners. Dan Jaffe, welcome to the mic. How are you, buddy?
Carl, doing great. And this is actually a special weekend for Oil Dry and Cat's Pride because, you'll notice that Dave Weiske, our VP of Customer Success, is not here. He's down in Mississippi where we have two plants, including our major cat litter plant. And we are going live with an over $10 million investment to better serve our customers. We're putting in a new information system. So
wow.
I want to thank all the Oil Dry teammates. Literally, they worked all day yesterday, all day today, because we need to do all this before the customers actually start placing live orders.
Wow.
And so from coast to coast, they've really been doing everything they can to make sure we can continue to get our customers the very best cat litter on time and in spec. And specific shout-outs to Leslie and Tony and Michelle and Gonzalo, because I just left them at the Chicago office here in the Wrigley Building, and they are still working, believe it or not.
Wow. But you're still working, too.
You know what? You want to work for a nice person. You are. I've known you for so long. You're like the nicest person. People work hard for nice people, and that's why Lisa, she sleeps all day.
I was going to say, I wish I had that.
She sleeps
no,
the whole time.
No, I wish I had the nice guy, you know, to work for. But what can you do?
tell us about what's going on with Cat's Pride and this new program, Litter for Good, because that's really been a huge success.
Litter for Good is really changing cats' lives in America. I mean, every year over 3 million cats go into shelters and only 1.5 million get adopted. So you can do the math, and it's an ugly scenario. And so, you know, we can only do so much, but we decided we would partner with our customer base, and if it's important to them, it's important to us. And so every time they buy a green jug, we donate a pound of litter to a shelter. And we have already connected with over 800 shelters. We've already committed over 2 million pounds of donations. Most of those have been received. Some are still in the works, but we've shipped truckloads all over the U.S. where they can't take a truckload, or they've earned less than a truckload. We sometimes send coupons and things like that. But it's really heartwarming because we're getting feedback literally from coast to coast saying we are changing the economics of these shelters because they used to have to pay money for the litter. Now they get the litter for free so they can take that money and do outreach and do things to get more and more cats adopted.
So that's what's so important.
This isn't just local and in Chicago. This is across the whole United States we're talking here.
Absolutely. It's coast to coast. We've shipped truckloads all over the U.S.
Now, how can our listeners, because this station has a 40-plus state reach plus parts of Canada, how can our listeners be involved in this tremendous program, Litter for Good? Do they do?
It's really easy. We say it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Number one is you have to join the Cats Pride Club, catspride.com, for free. You just have to join it. You then nominate your shelter of choice. Doesn't even have to be your local shelter. Whatever shelter you want to receive a nomination, that will then give them, the more nominations they get, the more litter they get. And we've actually received over 10,000 nominations so far. But then you got to go out, and you and all your friends have to buy the green jug. Cats Pride Fresh and Light, we're the only ones in a green jug. And every time we sell a green jug, we donate a pound. It's that simple.
So, Dan, tell me how many pounds of litter you have donated thus far.
Yeah, we're up to 2 million.
2 million pounds of litter.
Year,
and that's only in a year.
Yeah, we're only halfway done.
Yeah, this year is August this week.
So it's potentially 4.5, 5, it could be 5 million.
It could
depends
be
how many green jugs.
That's
right.
Yeah, I mean, because, look, we think about this all the time, but if you're, you know, if you buy kitty litter, I mean, at least not only do you get a better kitty litter with Cat's Pride, because it is the best kitty litter, but you're going to help save a cat's life. You really will.
Absolutely. And so we are absolutely committed to giving the best product at the best price. And then you show us that you care by buying that green jug, and we'll then donate a pound to the shelter of your choice, really.
Now, I'm going to do my part here.
Yeah. The website again is
www.catspride, all one word, .com.
Just go to catspride.com and then join the club. Join the club. It's free. It's absolutely free. Nominate your shelter and then start buying Cat's Pride in the green jug. All right. So Dan has been doing this from day one. We've been on the air over 3 years here, and Dan has been giving away. I mean, we're talking about years and years and years of kitty litter you've been giving away to our listeners. And somebody is going to win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter right now, because Dan is going to pick out of a hat. Ready? Let's do it.
We're ready.
Drum roll, please. Who is the lucky winner?
The lucky winner is Mary Meredith and her cat Athena from I don't even know where that is.
That's Marengo.
Oh, Marengo.
Like lemon meringue. Marengo, Illinois.
Very good.
Who here has ever heard of Marengo, Illinois?
I've heard of Marengo pie.
Okay.
Definitely.
Marengo pie.
Marengo pie. I think I heard it.
But we will find Athena, and we will get her a
year's
supply.
Yes, we will. Now, folks, if you want a chance to win next month, because Dan will be here next month to give away another year's supply, Lisa will tell you how to do it.
Make sure to send in a picture of your cat and send it to Cat's Pride. thecatsidephoto at gmail.com. All we need is your name, your cat's name, your city and state, and you could be the next lucky winner of 1 year supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. We will do this again at the end of August.
Yeah.
And a special thank you to you guys, because all of our radio advertising is here on the WGN Radio Theater, and we appreciate that. We do some TV stuff, and before we did all this and before Litter for Good, we were getting 2 Cat's Pride Club members a day on average. We've been averaging over 70 a day since January 1st, since we went live on Litter for Good.
That's WGN at work.
Yes.
Yes. Well, we thank you, Dan, because Dan has been our number one sponsor here from day one. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much. And all these classic radio shows are brought to you in large part by Cat's Pride. So, folks, please do me a favor, do the radio show a favor, and join the club and switch to Cat's Pride, because it's the best cat kitty litter on the market, and do join the Litter for Good program. Thanks, Dan. Great seeing you, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you so much.
Forget the green jug.
All right. We're going to listen now to part one of Big Town. We flipped the order. Instead of Escape, we're going to start with Big Town. So Big Town this hour, here's an episode called The Mask of Evil with Edward Pauly from January 4th, 1949. Part one now of Big Town.
Lever Brothers Company, makers of Lifebuoy Health Soap, presents Big Town.
Extra, extra hero about the mask of evil. Tonight's Big Town story brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, used in the homes of 40 million Americans. Extra, extra.
Lifebuoy Health Soap presents Big Town. The headline stories of a great city dramatically reported by Steve Wilson, fighting managing editor whose creed, as with all great newsmen, is emblazoned on the masthead of the Illustrated Press.
The power and the freedom of the press is a flaming sword. That it may be a faithful servant of all the people, use it justly, hold it high, guard it well.
Now, Big Town and Steve Wilson's strange and exciting story captioned The Mask of Evil. Evil has many shapes and many forms, and if you seek it, you may find it to your sorrow. And such is the case in tonight's story, which had its beginning and strange and terrifying ending in a supposedly haunted lighthouse, rented for atmosphere by a mystery writer and old friend of Steve Wilson by the name of Hannah Harper.
Miss Hannah, close the door quick.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, no. What's the matter, Aggie?
It's that terrible caretaker, Mr. Red Heron, and his son, Elmer. That's what's the matter, Miss Hannah. Please close the door and lock it.
Oh, stuff and fiddlesticks, Addie. They're just a couple of harmless local characters, and we're lucky to have them here to keep this musty old lighthouse warm while I finish my latest chilladilla.
We'll never live till you finish it, Miss Hannah.
Why not?
Why not?
Yes, and quit echoing me like a cracked phonograph record. Why not?
Because
why? Oh, for heaven's sake, you got me doing it again. Why?
Because of things.
What kind of things?
Doings.
What kind of doings?
What kind of doings?
Now, don't start that again, Aggie. What's frightening you?
That Mr. Red Heron.
What's he done?
He's been giving me the fishy eye.
Oh, stuff. He has only one eye, and he's probably giving you his version of a widower's wink. What else?
What else? The noises.
What kind of noises?
What kind of noises?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, yes.
Strange noises. Under the house, rumbles, explosions, like thunder.
Oh, stuff. Herring explained all that. It's the rumble of the waves pounding into the sea caves under this old lighthouse.
No, it isn't, Miss Hannah.
Yes, it is, and I wish it wasn't. This is the most disappointing haunted house I've ever rented to get an atmosphere for my horror stories.
You'll get more than atmosphere if we don't get out of here tonight.
Oh, stuff and nonsense. There isn't a spook in the place. Even poor old Captain Diamond rests quietly in his grave. Not a clank or a groan out of him. Hasn't creaked a stair since we moved in, or even slammed the door.
Oh, my stars.
Oh,
there.
Stuff. It's the wind banging a shutter.
No, it isn't. It's somebody trying to scare us away.
Well, why should anyone want to scare us away?
I don't know, Miss Hannah. But I wish your friend Mr. Steve Wilson was here to tell us to get out.
Yes, I wish Steve was here. Something always happens when Steve Wilson is around.
Please don't wish things like that, Miss Hannah. If we don't get out of this old lighthouse, We're all going to be murdered in our beds.
No such thing. If I'm going to be murdered, I insist on a much more unusual setting. Murdered in bed. What would my mystery fans and my publisher think?
I don't care what they think. And if you won't leave this awful place, I'm going to the village and telephone Mr. Wilson.
Why?
Why? To get us out of here. Oh, my stars. Oh, there. There. Listen. That's why we've got to get out of this place.
Oh, good heavens. I'll bicycle to the village and phone Steve Wilson myself. And if he'll come out, maybe something will really happen in this forsaken place.
Hi, Steve. Anything special on the hook for your wondrous girl reporter?
Not a thing, Lorelei, but close the door on those telepipes and come perch on the corner of my desk.
Thanks. Well, what goes with you? Have you been giving your ulcers a vacation whilst I've been in Washington?
Yes. It's part of my New Year's resolution to take things easier and last longer.
Mm. The year is exactly 4 days old. You want to bet you don't stay out of high gear a week?
Not a nickel, as long as I'm running a newspaper.
And the paper runs us. What a life. Anything new on that Southside sewer scandal?
Not yet, Lorelei. The grand jury is too full of post-Christmas spirit to indict, but they'll get around to it.
Uh-oh, your private wire to your so-called underworld listening post.
Yes, the holiday truce is over. Hello, Steve Wilson, Illustrated Press.
Steve, quit billing yourself like a vaudeville act on television.
Hannah!
So help you!
This I gotta hear.
Well, hard-hearted Hannah Harper, the horrific harpy of horrible happenings. How are you?
Terrible, thank you.
What's wrong?
I've rented another haunted house for atmosphere, but practically nothing happened.
Well, what is it this time, Hannah? A murder man's, deserted railroad station, or Bluebeard's castle?
An abandoned lighthouse near Corpse Cove.
Corpse Cove? Wouldn't you know it, Steve? Hiya, Hannah. Happy New Year.
Oh, hello, Lorelei. Same to you. Are you sitting on Wolf Wilson's knee this year?
No, on the corner of his desk. I'm not playing Charlie McCarthy to his Bergen act until next year.
Good. Get Steve off his managerial post and bring him out here on the double.
Are you in trouble again, Hannah?
Trouble? My publisher are having cat fits and kitten breeches.
Why?
I have a deadline on a bedtime story called The Seven Corpses, and I haven't found the first one.
Hannah, I refuse to be a stand-in for one of your bodies.
Oh, Steve Aggie, my housekeeper, is hiding under beds and threatening to leave if you don't come and rescue us from a fate worse than death.
Well, what's going on, Anna?
Oh, blessed if I know, Steve. It's just noises and explosions down under the lighthouse.
Explosions?
Yes, I've told Aggie it's waves in a sea cave, but I'm beginning not to believe it.
Are you two alone in that lighthouse?
Might as well be. I rented the light from a bank that handles the estate of a character called Captain Diamond.
Captain Diamond?
Yes, who retired here until they buried him under a huge slab of concrete right outside the front door.
Well, anyone else there beside the captain's ghost?
Yes, a local gnome called Red Herring.
Red Herring? No.
Yes, so help me. And his son Elmer, who is a cross between Paul Bunyan and his aunt. And he claims he has a 7-foot rabbit that pulls a pony cart.
Now, wait a minute, Hannah. Harvey was only a 6-foot rabbit.
Well, Elmer never heard of Harvey.
Well, have you seen this 7-foot apparition?
No, and I don't want to. For heaven's sake, drive out, Steve. Bring the Lorelei and Harry the Hack and his trusty monkey wrench.
Are you serious, Hannah?
I'm never serious, but I'm worried, Steve, and a little bit scared, so please come out here.
Okay, Hannah, how do we get to the lighthouse?
Drive to Corpse Cove.
Corpse Cove?
Yes, turn right and follow the cliff road, but warn Harry the Hack to be careful.
Oh, why be careful, Hannah?
Because part of the road into the sea.
That's the first portion of Big Town with the Mask of Evil. More after these words. All right, when we come back from the news, we'll have the conclusion to Big Town. Then after that, it's Escape, starring William Conrad from 1953.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Yes, this is the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa and I are here every single Saturday and Sunday playing your favorite classic radio shows on the greatest radio station on the planet, WGN, which we're broadcasting out of the Sky what?
What? The Skyline Studio.
Oh, yeah, Skyline Studio.
We're in Studio
Hall State.
Skyline Studios.
Right, we are in Studio A.
Here
now. We used to
I stand, or I should say, I sit corrected.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Know-it-all over there,
Mr.
right?
Mr. Know-it-all.
You know, Roger, I heard you use that exact word on
yes,
an interview.
We did.
When you were speaking with Rick Hogan.
Yes.
You said you were a know-it-all.
You
used the word know-it-all.
Yeah.
I was referring to him as Mr.
No, know-it-all. You were referring to yourself.
Well,
that I am a know-it-all, you said.
Well, I was just taking
your
cue.
Well, I think you were taking my song choice and just ingesting it.
I was feeling it.
That's right.
You know? There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
Roger feels a lot.
Lisa picked that song. Now, that song fit. I don't know about the Friends song yesterday.
I thought it was Friends.
Yeah.
It was sweet.
I'm picking
Carl's
your
not
song.
Not really good with sweets.
Roger?
What?
I am picking your song for next week.
Oh, boy.
Good.
So be ready.
Good.
You might need therapy.
Do some work this week, would you?
Not that I don't already need therapy. Come on.
You might need therapy.
Put Carl
because
to work this week.
I can pick some songs that are dead on.
Yeah,
good, you
I'm
do
sure
that.
They'll be dead.
Dead, maybe.
All right.
I'm going to pick one. I think I'll pick one for you.
Yeah,
next
you
week.
you pick one. All right.
Okay.
That's why we got cameras. We
that's
can see.
Right.
We
no,
can watch
right.
you.
Left or right side.
Whichever one needs it.
Okay.
All right.
You
let's get
both.
Back now to Big Town.
Say, boss, Miss Kilpine, speaking of atmosphere.
Speak of it, Harry.
If you will observe out of the left window of the hack, you will see very little else besides atmosphere, except in seawater about 100 feet straight down.
Yes, Harry. So watch for any more spots where the road has fallen into the sea.
I'm watching. That last one came on me kind of sudden.
Yeah, so does death. So take it easy or we won't live to get Hannah Harper and Aggie out of this jam.
What kind of jam they got themselves into this time, boss?
We're not sure. Neither is Hannah. Oh, there's the lighthouse, Harry. Stop here.
Yikes and how the road ends. That's all there is. There ain't no more. Should I cut my lights?
No, wait, Harry. There's something coming out of the ground over there.
Holy moly. It walks like a man, but it looks like a bear.
Oh, that must be Elmer, the caretaker's son.
Ooh, quote and misquote. Who takes care of the caretaker's son while the caretaker's son is taking care of us?
Wait a minute. He's coming over to the car. I'll get out and talk to him.
You want to borrow my knock-a-knock-a, boss?
Hold it, Harry. Good evening.
What do you want, mister?
Does Miss Hannah Harper live here?
She did.
Where is she?
I don't know.
Are you Elmer Herring?
Yeah, I'm Elmer Herring. Who are you?
We're friends of Miss Harper and Miss Aggie.
Then get them out of here.
Why?
Because I don't like them women.
Why not?
Because they don't believe I got a rabbit 7 feet tall.
Oh? Have you?
Yeah.
That's fine. Now, if you don't mind, I'll go into the lighthouse.
Wait a minute, mister.
Let go of my throat. Elmer?
What?
Keep out of this, Harry.
Yeah, or I'll throw you both in the ocean and your automobile, and I can do it, too.
I'm sure you could, Elmer, but then we wouldn't be able to take Miss Hannah away from here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, you couldn't.
So, how about letting go of my throat, and I'll go into the lighthouse and talk her into leaving.
Okay, but you get them out of here.
Elmer! Get back in the cellar. Get.
Okay, Pa. Okay, but don't you let him laugh about my 7-foot rabbit.
I won't, and get him to work. All right, mister. I heard you. Get them women and get.
Why?
It ain't safe for him to be here at the lighthouse alone.
Why not?
You ask too many questions, mister. Get them women and get.
That will be up to Miss Harper.
Get them and get.
Well, you seem to have another visitor. This is your busy night.
I said get them and get.
You're in a rut, Mr. Herring.
Get them and get.
Good evening, Mr. Herring.
Yeah. Evening, Doc.
I came as quickly as possible. Who are your visitors?
Strangers. Come to get the writing woman and the other female what talks like a parrot.
Very good. From that which I hear, your friends will be happier elsewhere, sir.
That remains to be seen, and I didn't catch the name.
Dr. Fu, doctor of dentistry, sir. And you?
I'm Steve Wilson of the Big Town Illustrated Press.
Oh. A newspaper man.
Yes, but we're here as friends of Miss Harper.
Good. Very good. And a good friend is he who gives wise counsel. In this case, to depart.
Well, thanks for the suggestion, Dr. Fu. And what is your reason for coming here as quickly as possible?
A professional visit, sir. I have come to pull teeth.
Well, not Mr. Herrings. He doesn't sound as if he had any teeth.
You're darn right. Had him knocked out in a fight in Singapore 20 years ago.
Quite so. And I am preparing a set of false teeth for Mr. Herrings.
When do I get him, Doc?
Oh, very soon. But now, where is your son, Elmer? That molar must be causing him great pain.
He's in the cellar.
Oh, so that's what made Elmer feel so mean. A toothache.
Yes, but the matter will soon be remedied.
Who's going to hold Elmer while you pull a molar, Dr. Fu?
No one, Mr. Wilson, for I shall put him to sleep. Now, if you will excuse me, gentlemen.
All right, mister. Go get them women and get them out of here.
Steve, what's going on here? First a dim-witted giant with a toothache and a 7-foot rabbit, and then a monosyllabic rustic, and finally an oriental doctor of dentistry. I don't get it. It can't happen here.
Well, it is happening, Lorelei. And if it's one of Hannah's publicity stunts to publicize her next mystery novel, I'm going to dunk her in the ocean. Now, wait till the hack, Harry.
Jack Wash.
Come on, Lorelei.
I'm right with you, Steve. Lead the way.
Oh, Steve. Steve Wilson, oh, thank heavens you got here.
Yes, I think so, Hannah.
Well, for heaven's sakes, come on in, but don't wipe your feet on this concrete slab. Hello, Lorelei.
Hello, Hannah, why not?
Oh, poor old Captain Diamond is buried under this slab. It wouldn't be respectful to wipe your feet on his grave, so come on in. I have a welcome mat inside.
Well, it'll be the first welcome we've had.
What do you mean, Steve?
Now, all right, Hannah, where did you hire these freak characters to put on that vaudeville act?
Act? What act are you talking about?
Elmer, red herring, Foo.
Who's Foo?
An oriental dentist here to pull Elmer's teeth.
And our leg, if you ask me.
Steve, Lorelei, I swear I haven't arranged anything. Miss
Hannah! Miss Hannah! Oh, Mr. Wilson, Miss Kilburn.
What is it, Aggie?
Get us out of this awful place before we're all murdered in our beds. Oh, my goodness. Midnight. And I'm still telling you we'll all be murdered in our beds, we will.
Stuff and fiddle faddle sticks, Aggie. Now that Steve is here, nothing will happen.
Well, I thought you wanted me here at the lighthouse, so something would happen, Hannah.
I've changed my mind.
What do you suppose they're doing down in the cellar besides pulling Elmer's teeth, Steve?
Well, I don't think Dr. Fu came here to pull Elmer's teeth, all right?
For heaven's sakes, what else, Steve?
I don't know, Hannah, but you've convinced me this isn't a publicity stunt on your part, and they're all anxious to get you and Aggie out of here.
Listen, I wonder why.
That's what I mean to find out.
How, Steve?
I want all of you to go to bed and turn out the lights.
We'll be murdered in our bed.
Stuff, Aggie. They'll have to find you under the bed to murder you.
What are you going to do, Steve?
Wait a while and then scout the basement to see what's causing those muffled explosions.
There, Miss Hannah. I told you it wasn't waves in the caves making that awful noise.
I just said that to keep you from having the screaming memes, Aggie.
I got him anyway.
Well, why did you send Harry away with a hack, Steve?
The phone Fletch on City Desk to check our morgue files on this fabulous Captain Diamond buried under Hannah's doorway.
Why check on Captain Diamond? Diamond, Steve.
I think Dr. Fu is here because of Captain Diamond.
What makes you think so, Steve?
You say you found papers indicating Diamond made a fortune trading in the Orient before he retired?
Yes, but the bank I rented the place from said he'd lost all his money.
I wonder. That old picture of him over the fireplace doesn't look like a man who would part with money once he got his hands on it.
Well, suppose he had money when he died. Where does Fu fit?
Oh, I think by his accent, Dr. Fu, if he is a dentist, practiced in the Straits, Laura, like Singapore, Calcutta, or even the east coast of Africa. May have worked on Captain Diamond, learned his secret.
Well, how'd you arrive at that long arm of deduction, Steve?
Well, look at the mouth of that old sea dog up there in the picture. Hmm? A full set of false teeth, if I was on.
Oh, heavens, Steve, you're right. Maybe Dr. Fu heard of Captain Diamond's death.
Yes, through Red Herring, who sailed with the captain as a mate.
And they're looking for the captain's money.
Oh, buried treasure. That's what they're after. And they'll murder us all in our beds to get it.
Oh, go to bed, Aggie. Get under the bed. You'll be safe.
Wait a minute. Listen, that's Dr. Fu's car.
He's driving away. I guess they've quit the treasure hunt for tonight.
Good. Where do Herring and his son live, Anna?
Downstairs, under the old light.
Uh-oh, not so good. Is there any way to get down there from here?
No, only through a passageway under the light. This keeper's house was built later.
Then I'll have to get in that way.
Oh, Steve, you're not going down there right away. Elmer likes to choke people. He might think you're trying to steal his 7-foot rabbit.
No. I'm going to wait a while. Give Elmer and his father time to settle down and sleep.
You hope?
Don't worry. Now, you girls get to bed and turn out your lights.
And sleep, I suppose.
At least keep quiet.
Yeah. All right. Come along, Aggie. Get your nighty.
Nighty? That I'll not, Miss Kilburn. The least I can do is be decent if I'm going to be murdered in me sleep.
Doggone Steve Wilson.
Lorelei.
Steve, you had to scare a gal green?
Why didn't you stay up in the house?
Oh, no. If there's something to this treasure idea, there's a story in it. And I'm a reporter, and whether you go, ergo, I go.
All right. But keep quiet and keep back.
Are you going in the cellar now?
No, Dr. Fu left his car down the road and walked back. He's in there.
In there? Doing what?
Well, they've been digging and loading something on a cart, Laura.
The one Elmer's 7-foot rabbit pulled?
Well, at this stage of the game, I'll even buy that.
Steve, what was that?
I think those modern Pandoras are opening a box, commonly called a coffin.
Grave digger.
Yes.
Grave robbers.
Those muffled explosions must have been blasts to open a hole from this cellar into Captain Diamond's burial vault.
Steve, if the money's in the coffin, they'll get it and get away before we can notify the police.
Give me my share, concern, you fool. Give me my share. Give me it. Let me get it.
Wait, Lorelei. They're quarreling over the loot. Maybe we won't need the police.
Give me my share, you wretch. Will you give me my share?
But certainly, my friend, you and your son shall have your share now.
Steve, did you see what I saw run past it?
Yes, but that will keep, Lorelei. Be careful, be quiet. We're dealing with a killer.
You're quite so.
Dr. Fu.
Yes, miss. And this gun and flashlight give me considerable advantage over your male companion. So please to advise him to do nothing foolishly heroic on your behalf.
Consider yourself advised, Steve. He means business.
Yes, Dr. Fu. If you handle dentist tools as well as that gun in your hand, you must be quite a craftsman.
I am most proficient, Mr. Wilson. Pleased to walk with the young lady into the late Captain Diamond's grave vault, and I will show you examples of both types of my handiwork. Please, to begin work, Mr. Wilson.
Hadn't you better wait for our driver, Harry the Hack, to return before you force me to seal ourselves up in Captain Diamond's grave vault?
No, Mr. Wilson. You are hack driver. I will dispose of with this gun when he returns and deliver his hack and his body over the cliff into the sea.
Oh, I knew it, Miss Hannah. I told you we'd be murdered if we stayed in this haunted old lighthouse.
Quiet, Aggie. You were wrong about being murdered in bed. Maybe you'll be wrong about being murdered at all.
We hope.
Well, you should have stayed in bed, Hannah, Aggie.
The ladies will please to be quiet while Mr. Wilson begins with his special cement I have prepared.
What is so special about this cement, Dr. Fu?
To ordinary cement, I have added a special fast-hardening ingredient used in the dental profession, which in a few minutes will make the opening you are about to close like solid rock.
I see. So you won't have to wait so long to be sure the passageway is sealed up so tight we can't dig our way out with this trowel.
Quite. So please to start before mortar begins to harden.
Very well. You better back up or you'll be sealed in with us.
I shall make certain that does not happen, Mr. Wilson. Seal up the space between us quickly.
All right. Incidentally, what were you after in the coffin of the late Captain Diamond?
Diamond. Yes, a fortune in diamonds.
Where were they hidden?
In the good captain's false teeth, Mr. Wilson.
In his false teeth?
Very ingenious, Dr. Crewe. Your idea or the captain's?
Oh, the captain's. He had me seal them in a set of molars in Zanzibar many years ago.
And you had to wait until he died to get them back?
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
And murder Mr. Herring and his son?
Yes, Mr. Wilson. Please to continue and finish before cement hardens, or I shall be compelled to shoot.
Well, then you'd have to finish sealing up this hole yourself.
It would be no task. Continue quickly, please.
Steve, if you do seal up that hole, we're finished. No one will ever find us in this vault.
Take it easy, Lorelei, my lovely. Cement is tricky stuff. It can be used for all sorts of things.
Oh, Miss Hannah, what an awful, awful way to die. Buried before you're dead, with bodies laying all around.
Hush, Aggie, you're getting morbid. Steve, you've simply got to think us out of here.
I'm going to try. Get back, Hannah.
My gun grows impatient, Miss Wilson. Please to finish the job of sealing the opening.
All right, Dr. Poole. Here's a nice big trowel full of your fast-hardening cement for your face.
All right. Come in here through the cavity.
Oh, wonderful, Steve. Hold him. I'll get the gun.
Abigail, I've got him.
My face. The cement, it is hardening. I will smother to death.
No, Dr. Poole, stop struggling. Stop talking and breathe through your mouth.
Steve, the cement is hardening on his face.
Yes. And it'll make a perfect mask of evil for the Rhodes Gallery at police headquarters.
Hey, boss, Miss Gilbine, boss.
Oh, in here, Harry.
Holy mackerel, what's going on in here?
We just missed being buried alive because of a mouthful of diamonds, Harry.
Harry, did you see an animal outside hitched to a cart with a coffin in it?
Yikes, was that what almost run me off the cliff as I was driving back in here?
Yes, Harry. Elmer's 7-foot rabbit, alias a long-eared mule. What happened to it?
Run off the cliff and fell in the ocean.
Oh, Steve, with the captain's body and his false teeth full of a fortune in diamonds.
Yes, it looks like the captain and his fortune and namesakes have gone back to the sea.
Oh, Steve, I knew something would happen as soon as you showed up. Now I have enough material for my horror book.
No, you haven't, Hannah. Your publisher wouldn't swallow this story.
Why not?
Because in these queer days and times, fiction can't be as strange as fact.
And so ended, with the arrest, conviction, and execution of the deadly Dr. Fu for the murder of Elmer and his father, another exciting adventure of Steve Wilson and Lorelei of the Big Town Illustrated Press. In tonight's dramatization, all names, times, and places are fictional, and any similarity to other names and places is purely coincidental. Big Town features Edward Pauley as Steve Wilson, Fran Carlin as Lorelei Kilbourne, and was written and produced by Jerry McGill. Next Tuesday night, same time, same station, you'll hear the newsboy calling.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. The story of Steve Wilson and Nightmare House, brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, another fine Lever product. Extra, extra.
Be sure to be with us next Tuesday at the same time when Lever Brothers Company will again present Big Town. This is your narrator, Hugh James, bidding you good night.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
And that's Big Town, January 4th, 1949, The Mask of Evil, starring Edward Pauley along with Fran Carlin. Hugh James doing the announcing there. That was sponsored by Lifebuoy Health Soap. Do you use that? Do you use Lifebuoy?
I don't use
that's
soap.
That's still around. I know you don't use soap.
I don't use any.
Believe
soap
me, either. I know.
I have a natural
pungent
scent. Trust
me, I know you don't use any soap. Lifebuoy's still around.
Lifebuoy.
Isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more hijinks, but then it'll be the news, and then in our next hour, Escape. Stick around. Okay. I think I did that. I think I got one. I bought one and I got one free.
You didn't buy it at all.
Well,
I did.
But I have two, but I've only used one.
Right.
The other one's in a glass case.
Are you going to let us know when that second one gets used? Yeah. Are you going to, like, announce it on the radio or something?
Yes.
Probably
when you know what freezes over.
Poor Carl. Well, you let us know when that My Pillow gets some use. We don't need to hear the details. Just the general idea.
It could happen.
The sound effect of glass breaking would be enough.
It could happen at some point.
It could.
I mean, I'm only 54.
I would like to know when it happens. I think that would be an event that we should all be privy to.
Roger, I got a few more good years where I could use that pillow, right?
Yeah, what did you pay for?
He paid nothing.
I
got him for free. Lisa bought him for me.
It was a birthday gift.
Was it birthday or Christmas?
It was a birthday gift.
I wasn't talking
gift.
The pillows. I was talking the years. What did you...
But you know what? Carl has another birthday coming up in August, so I have to rack my brain every year.
It's going to be August already soon?
Wednesday is August.
Oh, man.
Which is just, it's already Monday morning, so happy Monday.
Oh, happy Monday.
Wednesday is August, so I'm already thinking about that.
What do I want
gift.
For my birthday, Lisa?
What do you get from the man who's got everything?
Exactly.
Lisa has so much money, it's fine. I can just say whatever I want, and
maybe
she'll get it
for me. Maybe you'll be able to tell the story that tonight, happened.
Well,
we had adventure tonight. Not right now.
Yeah. No, I think right now.
Now's a good time.
No, it's fine. Do the news.
No, it'll only take a second, Roger.
Yeah, but be fair about the story.
So,
fair.
So, Lisa,
Carl.
Roger, I need your help on this. So, Lisa's,
I wasn't there.
So, Lisa's daughter left her wallet or purse or something at a restaurant.
Okay.
It was gone. And then she told me about this yesterday. I was like, wow, that stinks. And then today, because we carpool, I pick her up and then we drive her. She texts me. She's like, can we leave a little earlier because someone found Marissa's purse?
Was it
Marissa's?
Wallet.
Yeah, her wallet.
Oh, that's good news.
And, nice girl is going to.
She lives in Lincoln Park and it's right on the way. Can we leave a few minutes early and I'll meet her and pick it up?
And
no
I
problem.
Said, sure. So we drive there, and on our way there, I said, well, she's like, well, I got her a $25 gift card from Starbucks. And I said, okay.
That's just
well,
to be nice.
I said, that's
right.
good. I mean, if somebody found my wallet, I'd give them a lot more than 25
bucks.
He said
he'd give them like 100, but I said,
$100.
I think a $25 gift card is fine.
Roger, somebody found your wallet with your credit cards, your driver's license.
We're not paying her to
that's
give it back to me.
That's happened to me twice.
I would
I'm
give
just being
them,
kind.
I would give them $100.
No.
I would.
No.
That's... I mean, come on.
Because if you go to 100, then is that enough?
Now
put that into play.
We're halfway there, and she yells out an I'm not going to say what she said.
Who yelled
it's
out?
I exclaimed,
she exclaimed
oh no,
something.
I left my
she's
gift
like,
card
oh,
in
no.
the car, in
yeah.
my car, and I'm
oh,
in his car, and it's
no.
too far back. And I went, darn.
Right.
I
so
use
guess
that word.
What?
You had to stop off and get another
guess
card.
What?
It was closed.
She has no money on her. I've said this on the air many times. Lisa does not carry money with her. So who does she turn to?
Yeah. So I said, do you have
there's
anything
nobody else.
To borrow?
She turns to me.
Yeah.
I felt terrible not giving her something.
Yeah.
Right.
So you know what he gives me?
Wait. No, hang on a second.
Okay.
We're going to have Roger guess.
Okay.
Oh,
Roger,
right.
what? I had certain denominations on me.
Yeah.
And what do you think, Lisa, of my money?
Right.
What did Lisa give this girl? What do you think?
She doesn't know what you had with you.
I had different denominations.
I asked if he had a 20, and he said he did not.
I said, I'm not going to give you a $20 bill. That's not enough.
Well, knowing that Carl is like rolling in the dough.
No.
He is.
No.
He's got a rolled up money.
It was rolled up.
And he's got a rubber band around
it.
And there's like a mouse trap on it because he doesn't want anyone touching it.
So here's the thing.
I'd say you got 100.
Well, I had that, and I had some 50s. I'm like, give her a 50. She's like, no way.
Well, because I had to pay him back. He wasn't giving me
$50. And all I had was 10 $1 bills.
So you got the 10
$1
bills.
She rolled it up and made it look like it was a lot thicker than it was. And I said, I'm not going to be in the car.
How much was the gift card?
I said, I'm not giving...
$25, which would have been appropriate.
Roger, I said, you're going to have to take an Uber to go see this girl. I'm not going to be in the car.
Oh, so you didn't even stop off?
I said, I'm not going to be in the car when you give this girl $10.
I did. It was that or a 50. And I think I
even said I'd pitch in. Give her a 50.
I didn't want to have to pay you $50 back.
Oh, my gosh. All the money she has, Roger.
I'm telling you.
She's loaded.
You want to know something? The Bickersons have nothing on
you. She is loaded.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger. All right, time to play our game, Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What is the movie, Lisa? She doesn't have her notes.
I have my notes. The movie is The Revenant.
The Revenant?
Yes.
That's the one with...
yes, that one.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. By the way, we will be playing Escape this hour. That's our classic radio show. All right.
And we are going to be giving away a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling.
We'll take the third caller, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We'll play the game after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we are going to talk to Jeff this morning. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. It's so good to hear from you. We're going to do a little Crack the Quote. We're going to let Roger join in. Okay, Roger?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okie dokie. Just checking
Hi,
in.
Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
All right,
we're ready to go. Whatever Roger says, just pick a different one. Okay. Number one, the only safe thing to do is track a new course back up on land. Number two, it's the safest thing to do until we have adequate supplies. Number three, the right thing to do is to keep the street safe.
Well, I got to go with three.
You like that one? It's
yeah,
a good one.
Good.
Roger, what do you think?
I'm going to go with one.
With one.
And I'm going to go with two.
With two.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have a one, a two, and a three. Let's hear it.
The only safe thing to do is track a new course back up on land.
That is number one. Roger.
Woo-hoo!
Roger, good job for you. But you know what, Jeff? We're so happy that you played with us. You are always a winner here. You have won a desktop indoor weather station. It is the most coveted prize. We love giving them away. Our listeners love the weather station.
That might be Roger's first win, huh?
It might be. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-Minute Men. Give them a call, 855-955-HVAC. So thank you for playing, Jeff. It was great to hear from you.
Why, thank you. You have a good evening.
You too.
Thanks,
take
Jeff.
Care.
All right, it's time for Escape, Radio's greatest series of high adventure. This is an episode called Pressure. It stars William Conrad, and it was originally broadcast March 22nd, 1953. Here's part one of Escape.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are 400 feet below the surface of the South Pacific. The heavy taste of chlorine gas souring your mouth. While somewhere up above you, searching through the night for you, is an enemy destroyer bent on sending the submarine and you to a murky death.
Listen now as Escape brings you Richard Chand Lee's exciting story, Pressure.
November 6, 1944. USS Amberfish, SS-593, departed Pearl Harbor for her assigned patrol area, the East China Sea. She carried 82 men and 24 torpedoes. She was commanded by Lieutenant Commander Daniel Hall. Her record was zero. This was her fourth war patrol. On the 32nd day of patrol at 1700 hours, Amberfish surfaced off the southern coast of Japan.
Fog. Wouldn't you know it, Mac? If the sea doesn't run heavy, we get fog. What can you find in this?
What's the old man got planned for tonight, Lieutenant?
Routine. Night surface routine. You think the last night on patrol we'd...
Hold it. Hiya, boys.
Captain?
Evening, sir. That's a lousy night. What speed are we making, Frank?
About 5 knots, sir. 1 and 2 main engines on battery charge. Number 4 on propulsion.
Position?
About halfway through Osumi Strait. Course 045. Radar has the coast of Kyushu ranged at approximately 15 miles on the port beam, picking up the usual fishing boats. Aside from that?
Yeah. No. Nothing. 32 days and nothing. 4 patrols and nothing.
Sir, may I suggest something?
Yeah, sure, Mac. What?
Well, last night on patrol, sir, maybe we could go after one of those fishing boats, take some prisoners for intelligence, and sink her by gunfire.
We got no orders for it.
I know that, sir, but...
Now, Mike, do us all some good, Captain. End of the patrol. It's better than nothing.
I'm sorry, boys. We got no orders. That's it.
Yes, sir. Only we're off.
Only what?
Nothing, Captain. Nothing at all.
Two days at sea, cramped living, and thoughts pass between men without being spoken. He knows what the torpedo, the executive officer, the whole crew think. Captain Hall, a book commander. Last night on patrol, and he still goes by the book. Gotta blame someone for an empty sea, for a tired ship, for bringing back a full load of torpedoes 4 times in a row. The captain stares at the fog, and into his own thoughts. They need officers behind desks. That's where they'll put him after this patrol. A desk officer. Just a few more hours and he's headed for it.
Fog looks like it's thinning.
What? Oh, yeah. What's the time, Mac?
0100, sir.
Bridge. This is the conning tower. Radar contact.
This is Bridge. What's bearing?
033.
Captain?
Yeah.
It's just barely in range. It's funny looking. I don't think it's a fisherman this time.
This is Captain Radar. I'll be right there.
The scope's gone crazy. Can't be.
Keep the bridge, Frank.
Yes, sir.
Come on, man.
Yes, sir. This I gotta see.
Okay, Johnson, what have you got?
Yes, sir, Captain. Ah, there it is, sir. See? It's a pip, then it goes, nothing.
Scope's going crazy.
Come left to course 033.
033, sir.
All stop.
All stop, sir.
All right, Mac, what do you hear on the bearing?
Nothing, sir. Not a thing.
Pip's gone. Nothing on the scope, either.
Must be the radar, Captain. Must be, with our luck.
Luck can change. Steady on course 033.
033, sir.
All ahead full.
All ahead full, sir.
You never can tell. There have been false alarms before. The procedure is standard, by the book. Maybe one last chance to break the dull, leaden monotony that smothers the boat. In the forward battery, the crew's quarters, another rumor.
Hey, we picked up speed. Really moving.
Relax, Bergen. I think they got something on the radar again. Cards to the players. Come on, you guys. I got a wife to support.
5, 10, 15 minutes. All ahead full. The little flurry in the conning tower begins to settle. And then...
Captain!
There it is, sir. We've got it now, sir. We've got it.
Yeah. Man tracking stations.
Just one pip, but it's a big one. I don't believe it.
The men run. There's excitement. No feeling of obedient drill. Even the engines sound different. In the green eye of the radar, the spot grows stronger and holds. A chance, one last glimmering chance for the captain to show he's not a book, to keep his job. Out there in the night, there's something big and fast.
Two. Three. Three smaller pips now, Captain. One big ship and three escorts. Zigzagging.
Still a long way off. Bridge?
Yes, sir?
You see anything, Frank?
Not yet. Fog's gone, but it's black as pitch. Can we come up to him?
We'll come up to him. Just keep your eyes open. Maneuvering. Tell those motor mechs back there to give it everything. All ahead, flank.
Maneuvering. Make all speed.
All ahead, flank, sir.
What do you think we got, Captain?
We haven't got him yet.
One ship, three escorts. Must be worth something to the Japs.
The moon's coming out. We're getting the moon.
That's something on sound, sir. Heavy screws bearing 041.
Frank, got him on sound now. Can you see?
I think so, Captain. Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah, I can just about see him. Bearing 040.
That's him. Well, what do we got, Frank? What is he?
Well, wait a minute. Well, hold it. Aircraft carrier coming right down the groove.
Battle stations torpedo. Make ready all tubes and stand by.
All tubes ready, sir. Standing by.
Another Zig, Captain. It's coming right at us.
What's the range now?
8,000 yards, sir. Closing fast.
Light screws on sound. Destroyer 6,000 yards. He's echo range, sir.
Okay, Harris. Bridge, what about those escorts?
Moving around, Captain. Looks like they know that stuff. Take it down anytime.
Keep your eye on them, Frank. We're going to stay up on the firing bearing now.
You mean on the surface for the whole attack?
They're looking for something submerged. Just keep those sight bearings coming. We'll stay up as long as we can.
Okay, Captain. It's your party. Barry? Mark?
041.
Range? Mark.
7500 yards.
Set. He's right on, Captain.
How much time?
None, sir. Firing point in 15 seconds. All set. Ready to shoot.
Another destroyer, sir. Light screws, high speed. Turning this way.
God, a destroyer coming right at us.
Stand by forward. Bridge.
Destroyer.
I heard you. Shooting observation. Come on, give it to me.
Break off, Captain. Diving. Turn down his lights.
Give me the carrier's bearing.
Bearing. Mark.
All right, Frank. Clear the bridge. Get out here.
049.
Set.
Fire. Dive, dive, dive. Full rudder. All ahead emergency. Take her down to 200 feet.
Left full rudder. All ahead emergency, sir.
Rig for depth charge. Rig for silent running.
Destroyer had us cold, Captain. 600 yards won't have any trouble finding us now.
Destroyer close aboard 050.
Forget the destroyer. Sound got on that carrier. Listen for those torpedoes to hit.
That's him. There he comes.
Mac, what's the time on the torpedo run?
70 seconds. Hit any second now.
Down 40 feet. Come on, get under, get under.
75 seconds.
It should be a hit.
80.
He's trying to ram. Hang on. Missed us. He missed.
Harris, did you hear a hit? Did you hear anything?
No, sir. I don't know. That destroyer, I didn't hear anything.
Missed. Yeah, we missed.
Down 70 feet.
All right, sound, get on that destroyer. We're playing target now.
That's the first portion of Escape, starring William Conrad in Pressure from 1953. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
That is the one and only Bill Curtis there with our rejoin. And that was the one and only Roger Badish with the news. And Esmeralda Leon with traffic. All right.
There's a lot of one and onlys.
Yeah. Right.
Very unique.
We're listening to Escape, one of the best radio dramas of all time. It was on the air a long time. And William Conrad is the star of this particular episode called Pressure. Let's go back to March 22nd, 1953 for the conclusion now to Escape.
So 100 feet, Captain. Leveling off.
How far to the bottom?
Another 100. Not so hot.
Echo ranging, sir.
He hasn't got us yet. Just poking around.
He's slowing down. Turning toward us now. Screws speeding up. Shifting short scale. He's got a contact. Here he comes. Coming on range. He's on us. He's dropped his charges.
Three. Four.
All right, boys. Hang
five.
On.
Six. Seven.
Hang on now.
Eight.
Hang on.
Nine. 10.
Lights up! All right, emergency lights! Turn on that lantern! Can somebody help me with Harris?
Turn down the volume. Went right through my head. I can't hear! I can't hear!
Jensen, get Harris out of here. Get him to his bunk. Find the pharmacist's mate.
Yes, sir! I can't!
Keep him quiet,
yes,
Jensen.
Sir.
Those charges were right on. Like he looked right down and saw us.
Yeah. Well, I guess we ran into an expert. Bergen, check all compartments, report all damage.
Yes, sir.
Mac, get somebody on sound.
I'll do it, sir.
We're in for it, huh, Captain?
Yeah. Just hope she stays together.
A beating. And for nothing. The captain tried. He had his chance. Check through the boat and pray none of the damage is beyond small, quiet repairs. Small and particularly quiet.
After bilges flooding, hull dished in but holding.
It's the captain's command because they thought he knew his job. They let him go to sea four times with $7 million in the lives of 82 men.
Number one and two airbanks emptied. Diving planes damaged. Losing depth control.
He listens to the damage. Nothing fatal yet. But it isn't over. There's an expert up there, and he's got all the time in the world, and he's going to take it. The captain waits, and listens in silence. All operations are done by hand now. No pumps, no motors. All necessary movement by silent hands. No air conditioning, no fans, and the temperature climbs to 125 degrees. The boat slants at an odd angle. A bucket brigade bails endlessly from a flooding bilge, empties it forward, hoping to level the boat. A working party tries to repair the damaged diving planes.
Okay. Once more now. Slack off. Rest.
While you get back. How's it coming, Mendoza?
I can't tell, sir. She's jammed good. Might be able to do something. Bust her boy up there.
Oh, do the best you can.
Sir, are you walking back to the conning tower?
Yeah. I'm on a goodwill tour.
Fine, sir, but would you mind taking your shoes off? Make a terrible noise.
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry.
Silence. Silence means life. Captain Hall walks the ship silently. The men smile weakly as he passes, but underneath he knows what they think. How much longer, Captain? How much more do we have to take? Captain is the brains. He knows. He should know.
Five, six, seven,
going to get out of this, ain't we?
Yeah, Jensen, we'll get out of it. Just sit tight.
Captain Hull makes the Goodwill tour. Then back to the conning tower to wait, in the silent heat and sweat. The ship sweats, too. Thick, heavy humidity condensing on every possible surface. Like the steel was porous. Like the sea squeezing in. He's seen the men. He led them into this surface attack on a carrier. Be fast, get in close, and make sure. But it didn't work. Now, work hard to breathe the same foul air they breathed 4, 6, 10 hours ago. He led them into this, and for nothing.
Turning this way. There he comes again. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Must be leaky oil. That's what gives him the spot.
The bottom. 300 feet. Not so bad. Could have been 4. It's the oil. That's what he sees. That's all he needs.
We're not leaking oil.
He's got us perfect. He must see something.
That's enough. I said we're not leaking oil.
Captain?
What, Jensen?
Can we get off the bottom, sir?
Sure. When they get the diving planes in shape, and when our friend clears the area, we'll get up.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, we'll get up. Jensen, you want something to do? Take over the sound watch.
Yes, sir. Hot.
It's getting awful hot.
How many depth charges do you think that Jap's got?
Too many, sir. Just too many. Light screws. They're fading. He's going way off.
Can I get a good run at it? Maybe he thinks he scored a bullseye.
He's too good to make that kind of mistake.
Thanks. You're a big help.
Go on. Get yourself. It's too hard to argue.
Captain, maybe... Does he think he got us?
Jensen. Can you still hear him?
Just barely, sir. Just barely. He's gone now, sir. I can't hear him.
Captain?
Yeah, he's smart. Lie out there and wait. See if we move. And that's the way we got to look at it. There's one thing he doesn't know. We got to wait anyway. All right, settle down. You're all right.
It's sickening. Suppose someone should open a window. It smells terrible in here.
Shut him up. Shut him up.
It's all right. I'm all right.
You better go to your bunk.
No, sir. I'm all right. I like it here. I wouldn't know what was going on in my bunk.
14 hours. 14 hours and the destroyer's still up there. Only he can't be heard now. But there's a sense, a feel to it. Like an animal in the night that isn't seen. He's sunk subs before and knows how long a sub can hold out. The physical things, battery power, air, life is gauged on those. But the men, the captain tells himself that he can hold out as long as necessary, but the men can take just so much. Which is worse, a depth charge attack or waiting for the next one?
Captain. Yeah, Mendoza. Diving plane working party just about completed repair.
Well, what about it?
Waiting for an answer, sir. Chief of the party requests permission for one smack with a 10-pound sledge.
What? Is he crazy? You can hear that through the water for 10 miles.
Chief says one good smack would free the plane, sir.
Sound. Hear anything?
Fish, sir. Just fish out there. Captain, maybe he has gone.
If the plane's working, sir, we'd be our own boss again.
Frank?
You're the captain, sir. What's the difference?
Don't! Don't let him, Captain, hear it. I know he'll hear it.
Sound like a full sweep.
Nothing, sir. Nothing at all.
Okay, Mendoza. Permission granted. One smack.
Thank you, sir. Diving plane party. Permission granted. One smack. Make it good. Acknowledged, sir. Stand by.
I can hear that all the way to Tokyo.
Echo ranging.
I told you! I told you!
Shut up!
He's coming again! Now he's gonna kill
him! Shut him up! Stop him! Sit on him!
He's turning. Coming at us. He's dropping the way to starboard.
He didn't get the range. He's not sure.
He's turned away, sir. Going away at high speed.
He lost us, Captain. He lost us.
Mendoza, report from that damage party.
Reporting now, sir. Our planes work, sir. It's a jury rig, but they work.
Captain, you think we could try to get out of here?
Let's do it, Captain. We got the battery, but not much longer.
If we can get up there, sir, even if he's still there, we got torpedoes. It's better than being blown apart down here.
All right. Battle station surface, make ready all tubes and stand by. Surface, surface, surface!
Feet. Leveling off.
Up, periscope. Stand by, looking around. The sun's just setting. Full sweep. Surface, stand by all tubes, ready on all four engines.
Hatch is clear.
All right, open her up. Let's get some air.
Smell. Smell that, old boy.
Open the main induction, start the blowers.
Can't see anything. We're clear.
Nothing to port. Wait a minute.
What?
Look at the sea, Captain. Out there.
Oil.
Oil as far as you can see. Debris.
Take a big ship to put out that much junk, Frank.
You see it, Captain? That's why that baby gave us such a working over. You know what it means?
Yeah, I see it.
That's why the escort broke off attack. Probably went back to pick up some survivors. Well, what do you know?
Conning tower, pass the word. We got the carrier. Right full rudder. Set a course for home.
The course is due east. To the captain, the air smells fresh and sweet. Home with 82 men. 18 torpedoes left out of 24. But a captain who sinks a carrier doesn't have to worry about a desk job anymore. December 16, 1944. USS Amberfish, SS-593, completed her fourth war patrol. After experiencing severe depth charging from enemy forces, she surfaced and confirmed sinking of large aircraft carrier. Then, set course for Pearl Harbor.
Under the direction of Anthony Ellis, Escape has brought you Pressure by Richard Chandlee, starring William Conrad as the captain, with Larry Thor as the narrator. Featured in the cast were Bob Sweeney, Hi Averback, Herb Ellis, Jerry Hausner, Frank Gerstel, Kurt Martell, and Eddie Firestone. Sound effects were by Gus Bays, Ralph Cummings, and Jack Sixsmith. The special music for Escape is composed and directed by Leith Stevens. You want pleasure in the daytime? Here are two things to do about it. For one, join Arthur Godfrey Monday through Friday. For another, you're welcome to CBS Radio's House Party starring Art Linkletter. Yes, Arthur Godfrey time and Art Linkletter's House Party every weekday on CBS Radio. This is Roy Rowan speaking. Remember, America's 45 million families listen most to the CBS Radio Network.
What did you think of that, Lisa Wolf? That was a good drama right there,
very
right?
Very good.
Very cool program called Pressure from March 22nd, 1953 on Escape, starring William Conrad. Remember, you have to name two television series that William Conrad starred in. You should know one because it has your name as part of it.
TV series?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Has Wolf in it.
Really?
Nero Wolf.
Yeah, I know Nero.
He played Nero Wolf.
Well, I know the Nero Wolf part, but I don't know.
And what about Cannon? Remember, he was Cannon,
yeah,
the detective? He was kind of like a rotund detective
Cannon.
Running and
I did not
chasing
like that
people.
Show,
I mean, he caught everybody. I'm not sure how he did that.
Yeah, I don't know how
maybe
he ran
the people
so fast.
Had leg issues that he was chasing.
I wasn't
maybe
a
they
big
had,
fan.
Maybe they had plantar's warts or something on their feet. Couldn't run.
You would know, right? You're vulnerable.
Never had a plantar's wart. I heard it's not fun.
You've never had one?
I've never had one.
I did in college.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, when I was in college, I was too busy.
You were studying to be an astronaut?
Right. I took up space. Yeah, you had a planner's ward in college?
I did, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oof, what was that like? Not good, right? Painful?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't get it soon enough, it grows in.
What do you have to do, like cut it out? Have it cut?
No, like little by little, you put some stuff and then you scrape it and then you put some stuff and eventually it's
wonderful.
Gone. Yeah, it's kind of gross.
Sounds delicious.
I'm good now.
Sounds good.
It's been a while. I'm good now.
I'm going to have that for dinner.
That sounds delicious.
And some fava beans.
On the side.